The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the dominion of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fish for human beings." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I greet you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, I would like to share with you, this is one of the famous texts in the Gospels, but I'd like to share with you new use of the nets. But I'd like to begin by posing some few questions as we try to reflect to this text. What would make you drop everything and pursue an entirely new life? Is it a great job offer, a marriage proposal, the chance to make a huge difference in another part of the world? What do you think? What would prompt you to take off from everything you know for something entirely different? I admire something about this text, especially I admire what the disciples did. But few of us would consider following their example. In today's world, and if you do, you'll be considered a reckless or a careless person, or an inconsiderate person. So in other words, you need to plan, you need to discuss with the family if you are taking a trip, you need to weigh the risks and the benefits of that particular trip. As you know, I was in Zimbabwe and the first thing I did was to sit with my family that I'm going, and I had to make sure that all is set before I can go to Zimbabwe, to make sure that the family is well catered for. So it's one of those things, and there's a natural instinct that comes to us as people to make sure that we prepare for something before we take a journey or before we can take whatever, if we're asked to do with someone else to do something. But like I said, I admire what the disciples has done. It's not easy to make a sudden departure. Picking up and leaving everything to start a new life on the road, relying only on the generosity of the strangers and the providence of Jesus. So we see Simon and company had no salary, no denominational health plan, no pension. They just picked up, left the only life they had known and followed for the rest of their lives. But what struck me by this week in the calling of the disciples, according to Mark, is the word immediately. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. This is a very important word, and again, an important phrase, according to Mark. It is repeated twice in this text. Mark loves the word immediately, and in repeating it creates an urgency unlike any other gospels. Granted, The disciples have no clue at this point how life has been changed. Maybe a life of faith can only happen immediately in the surprising and sudden profound epiphany of God at work. God revealed in our lives. By the way, we named our daughter Phanerea from the word epiphany. Phanerea means the full manifestation of Christ. So it's a very important time for us as a family when we talk of epiphany. So God is revealed in our lives. And this is not a wait a few minutes. Let me pack my bag. I have a few more arrangements to make. No, epiphanies just happen. No preparation, no packing list, no recommendations of what to take, your time. You need to just go. So epiphanies, especially of the divine nature, demand an immediate response. There is no invitation of contemplation or reflection, but instantaneous commitment and risk. Or to put in another way, no real choice. So in this text, Jesus' speech for the new job spoke to who they were and to what they knew. In other words, Jesus knew how to bait a hook. Had his invitation been, come, follow me, and I'll make you traveling theologians, they might have had second thoughts. But he said, instead of fishing for fish, let's fish for the people. A common term and a common phrase for the fishermen. Come and be the fish of the people, of human beings. Apparently, they understood his message and the figure of speech. Jesus would indeed teach them to cast a new kind of net, a net of love and a compassion, and a net of teaching, a net of healing, a net of salvation over the people they met. But if never would have been happened if they hadn't left their nets, their fishing nets. To understand this text, let me bring some other important aspects for us to understand why we see Mark making this immediate response in this text, unlike other texts. If you read to Luke, Luke gives us, you know, some kind of preparatory way, you know, the nets, you know, they were broken, they were all those. Luke tries to narrate this story to put in a context. But for Mark, immediately is the key word, and they left and they followed him. But to understand this, we need to put in its rightful social, economic, and political context. And Jesus' four new disciples lived in a tough world. And we know the Jewish aspirations for freedom confronted the grim reality of Roman imperial exploitation. Families lost their land. Children scattered in search of work and opportunity, of finding themselves enslaved by poverty. And the traditional families and village structures crumbled under enormous cultural and economic stress. A very few people amassed incredible levels of wealth in Jesus' day, while countless others found themselves destitute. So those realities impinge upon Simon and Andrew while they fish. James and John sends them as they repair their nets. So we know that at this time, the fishing industry was being steadily restructured for export. All fishing had become state regulated for the benefit of the urban elite. Either the Greeks or Romans who had settled in Palestine following military conquest, or religious leaders connected with the Herodian family. So they profited from the fishing industry in two ways. Number one, they controlled the sale of fishing leases without which the locals could not fish. These rights, and often capitalization as well, were normally awarded not to individuals, but to local kingship-based cooperatives in Greek koinonoi, such as the brothers Simon and Andrew or Zebedee family, we have who met in Mark chapter 1, 16 to 20. And second, they taxed the fish product and its processing and levied tolls on product transport. So local administrators handled royal leases, contracts, and taxes, such as levy that we will see, the levy of Alphaeus that we see in Mark chapter 2, verse 14. So in other words, leases, taxes, and tolls were exorbitant. So you can tell from this context that thus the fishermen were falling to the bottom of an increasingly elaborate economic hierarchy. The elites looked down on them, even as they depended upon their labor. With such rigid state control of their livelihood and the oppressive economies of export, it is hardly surprising that in Mark's story, the fishermen are the first converts to Jesus' message about an alternative social vision. Restless peasant fishermen had little to lose and everything to gain by overturning the status quo. Now, Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." This is a very important phrase in this text. Follow me. A call should not be removed this text from its social matrix. So Jesus, who knew the prophetic literature and sought to embody it anew in this context, was using an idiom that exposed and provoked the conflict in order to address it. It mixed both the oppressed by the privatizers of the Sea of Galilee's Commonwealth. He was summoning these marginalized workers to join him in. To use the modern parlance, catch some big fish and restoring God's justice for the poor. So little wonder then that Mark records the response of these exploited fishermen to Jesus. Good news as immediate. A scenario he repeats twice in this text. They had little to lose, as I said. In antiquity, leaving the workplace would have entitled both loss of economy and security, and the rupture in the social fabric of the extended family as well. So in that sense, to join this movement demanded not only an ascent of the heart, but an uncompromising break with the business as usual. But the verb, they left the nets. In Greek, aphiemi, I think Pastor Kathleen, my teacher, would help me on this. They left their nets. Aphiemi is used in Mark to connote release from debt, as well as forgiveness of sin and liberation from bondage. So it is, in other words, a jubilee verb to leave, as well as forgiveness. So Jesus is calling these disaffected workers out of an exploitative system and back to the network of kingship that practices mutual aid and cooperation. But when Jesus encounters the four fishermen, he finds them like us. This is very important, my brothers and sisters, working hard, earning a living, fulfilling their family obligations. And like some of us, perhaps, he also finds them struggling to hold it together, looking forward to the worry, looking back with regret. There are bills and taxes to be paid. For the sons of Zebedee, there is a father who relies on them. And for Simon Peter, there is a mother-in-law with the health concerns. Whatever the case, his call to follow him is a call to recognize the time of God with us, to welcome God's reign in our lives, to repent, to believe in the good news. But here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. The disciples immediately followed him. And the issue is, here is not about to follow uniformly or in the same way as the disciples did. We follow him in particular and distinct ways that may or may not be like the first disciples. So how do we do it is the question. And that, I think, is the point in this text. Perhaps we follow by becoming a teacher. Perhaps we follow by volunteering at the senior center. Perhaps we follow by looking out for those in our schools who always seem on the outside and invite them in. Perhaps we follow by doing a job we love as best as we can to help others. Perhaps we follow by doing a job we hate, but contributes to supporting our family and helping others. Perhaps we follow by being generous with our wealth and with our time. Perhaps we follow by listening to those around us and responding with their encouragement and care. Perhaps we follow by caring for an aging parent or special needs child or someone else who needs our care. We follow in different and distinct ways. So it's not about, because Jesus said, follow me now, so that we should jump and follow. There are so many ways that we can do that. Sometimes in an ordinary way, we follow him daily. So there are a number of distinct ways that we can follow Jesus and indeed follow him immediately here and now in the world and the time in which we live. What seems at the heart of the matter in this text is that we can follow Jesus in all of these different situations and circumstances as the regard, love, and patience that he did, including all manner of people, but especially those who are overlooked by the society. And this, I think, is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, to try to live and treat others as Jesus did, embracing the values of inclusiveness, love, forgiveness, and healing that he radiated in word and deed. Now, as I conclude, my brothers and sisters, Jesus turns his attention to the ordinary things that make up daily life. He teaches from the events and happenings of the ordinary life. He dines with regular folks in their homes, and he lives, works, and laughs, and cries with them on a daily basis. So what Jesus called to follow finally means is that we are meant to explore where the kingdom of God is breaking through in our daily lives and point it out. So every time when we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are in fact saying to them, your life with ups and downs, with the successes and failures, in all of it, the glory and ordinariness has been claimed by God. And every moment is now shot through the holiness and the possibility. But let me conclude by the words of Albert Schweitzer, who nevertheless discovers that we can come to know Christ Jesus fully and authentically only by following Christ. And he writes, and I open the quote, he comes to us as one unknown, without a name, as of old by the lakeside. He came to those men who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, follow me, follow thou me. And he sets us to the tasks which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they are wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, the conflicts, the sufferings which they shall pass through in his fellowship. And as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. Praise be to God. Amen.